What is up, my love? Welcome to the Love Stands Here podcast. I'm your host, Megan Brianna from lovestandshere.com, and I'm a life coach, a certified eating psychology coach, but most of all, I'm just a girl who really loves Jesus and has spent a lot of time learning how to not only discover my worth through him, but also how to cultivate the characteristics that we're called into in order to live a healthy and purposeful life of love and service. My friend, living in the world can be really tough, and all too often we're taught beliefs and given messages by a broken society that make us feel like we're never enough and our worth is only skin deep. But I'm here to share some good news. Your worth is not in the world, but in God's beautiful word. So if you're looking for encouragement to live and love better, you're in the right place. Make sure to rate, subscribe, and share with your friends if you feel called, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Love ya. Hello, welcome or welcome back. I'm so glad to have you here, as always. I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving and that you are able to walk into the holiday season full of joy and peace and the Spirit, and that you're able to remember what the season is truly about. I also want you to know that if this is a difficult time of year for you, for whatever reason, if, you know, this year alone is challenging for one reason or another, or this is something that you deal with every year, you are absolutely not alone. I struggle with this time of year as well. And while I would love to talk more about that, I have a topic that I need to stick to today. Otherwise, this would be 2 hours long. I've talked about this before, but I am an introvert, and so my brain doesn't work all that well a lot of times when I'm trying to communicate something. So I have a lot of thoughts in my head, and I have a lot of things to share that will just float around my head, but the words won't come out right. So it's a challenge for me to just speak off the cuff when I'm doing my podcast. There are some days that I can, my brain just works really well. But there are other days that I just really can't. And so I write instead. Writing is something that I am much better at doing. So sometimes I will write up what I want to say, and then I'll just read it. And today is going to be one of those days. I have had a lot of confirmation about this topic, and it's one that is a little uncomfortable to talk about, but it's also one of the biggest things that has been revealed to me this year. Something that I want to say is that sometimes we hear messages that don't make sense to us, or that feel condemning, or that feel offensive. And I want you to know that it all depends on where you are in your journey with Jesus. So the topic that I'm going to talk about today is purity. And this is something I've been walking with Jesus for almost 5 years now. And this particular thing is something that didn't become super obvious and super important to me, like as important to me as it is now, until this year. And had I talked about this or heard a message on this probably when I first started, I would have been so offended by it because I was still learning how to disconnect from culture. And this is something that is really, really big in culture. Sexual immorality is something that is very, very big in culture. And I say sexual immorality because that is a big part of this conversation, but also purity is not just about sex. It's about a lot of other things, but I'll get into that later. But I just want you to be encouraged that if you listen to this message and it feels weird to you, and it feels like you don't understand it, and you can't get behind it, or maybe it even feels condemning, which is not at all what I'm trying to do. I'm just sharing the Bible, and I think that maybe you're just not ready to hear it. Maybe it's just something that God isn't ready to reveal to you yet as truth, and that's totally okay. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, at one point says, as disciples, discipling other people, which is basically just teaching and walking beside other believers and helping them grow in their faith. Sometimes we have to give them milk, and sometimes we give them solid food. It all depends on where you are in your journey. So there are a lot of messages that I can look back on now that were really, really important to my journey at the beginning, that now I look back on them and I'm like, ooh, that is not the greatest theology, you know? And I understand that now, but I didn't then, but there were also messages that I needed to hear to move me forward. So if this is something that you can't chew on, please don't be discouraged. It just might not be something that God is ready to fully reveal to you yet. So let's talk about it. And forgive me if my voice cracks. My throat is super dry right now. Okay. So when I was younger, I remember that I never felt like I fit in, and it was super painful. I always wanted to be friends with everyone. I always tried taking care of the kids that didn't have a lot of friends. I never understood gossip, and I basically really just wanted everyone to feel like they belonged. Things like swearing made me uncomfortable. I never wanted to wear anything that would draw attention to my body, and I had no desire to rebel against authority figures in my life at all. Basically, I was just incredibly sensitive to sin. But of course, I couldn't identify it in that way at that time. It eventually got to a point, however, where because everyone around me was confirming my internal narrative that I was weird for these things, I figured I was the problem. So I started trying to be more like the world. And it took a long time, but I slowly started to fit in. My spirit when I was younger is something I soon forgot. I never stopped encouraging others and wanting the people around me to feel a sense of value and belonging, but I did start ignoring my sensitivity to darkness. My intuition never stopped screaming at me, but I just thought it was something I was supposed to suppress. If everyone in the world was doing life one way, shouldn't it make sense that I would be following their lead, even if it meant ignoring the cues I was getting to run away? Unfortunately, I didn't run away. I leaned in more and more and eventually became quite a bit like the people and the culture around me. I swore, I gossiped, I rebelled. I listened to music and watched TV that spoke into my understanding of life, its version of truth that soon became my own. I started focusing on my body and my appearance as the only thing valuable I had to offer, and I determined my worth based on how much attention I could get from men. The more I glowed up, the more rebellious I got. The more I started to resemble what was valued as attractive in society, the more I wanted to show up in spaces where I would be noticed. The attention was an addiction, and I lived for it. I spent the majority of my time dieting, working out, buying clothes and makeup I couldn't afford, taking pictures and measurements, and wondering when the next compliment would come. If I went more than a few days without being validated, I would do whatever I could to manipulate it into existence. And, you know, social media is really good for that. I was constantly in bars, on dating apps, and in and out of strangers' beds. Most of the relationships I was in were built on little more than lust and shared unhealthy behaviors. And when I was single, the only thing on my mind was partying and finding someone to hook up with. After my first abusive relationship, I had so much unhealed trauma stored in my body, it was often explosive. I would get blackout drunk and verbally abuse my friends. I would throw temper tantrums in public places, and I even spent the night in jail once and had to take classes for domestic violence. I was protecting myself in an unsafe situation for that one, but still. By the way, the domestic violence classes I took were the best thing ever. First time I ever felt like I had women in my life that understood what I had been through. Anyway, I suffered from depression, tremendous anxiety, body dysmorphia, disordered eating patterns like I always talk about here, and my behaviors consequently landed me in a few very, very toxic and abusive relationships, the last of which I'm almost sure I would have died in if not for God's protection. I was incredibly insecure, and I hated myself most of the time. This is what living in an impure and broken world looked like to me. This is what it looked like to ignore my convictions. This was my experience. I don't think it's typical for someone who doesn't know Jesus to look at the world and start pondering the concept of purity. It's obvious to most that things are broken and there is a lot of darkness, but I just don't think it's common that we would consider things that pretty much define our culture as the reason for that brokenness. It's just normal. So, purity, defined by the dictionary, is the freedom from adulteration or contamination or of immorality, especially of a sexual nature. It's marked by cleanliness and virtue. The Bible has a lot to say about purity. In one of Jesus's most famous sermons, he declares that the pure of heart will be blessed, for they will see God. Pure hearts are pretty countercultural, but so is most of what Jesus taught. He quite literally died to cleanse us of our sins so we could be known by God. There is a subculture within Christianity that you may have heard of called purity culture. And while I'm newer to the concept, my understanding is that it is founded on the virtues of purity in the Bible, but it is also often used as a measure of a person's worth by their sexual purity. And similar to so many things that are good and healthy in and of themselves, as humans, we tend to be extremists. We like to swing a little too far to the left or right, leaving little room for nuance or grace. This is one of those circumstances. Because we live in a broken world, we are born into impurity. The degree to which we experience it individually depends on our culture and society, family and community environments, genetics, you know, the normal stuff. Every single one of us is living in sin with an unclean heart in need of a savior. And thanks to Jesus, we have one. When I was in the middle of the life I had before Jesus, a few of the things I struggled with at the time were pretty obvious to me, like the anxiety and body image issues, both of which I tried to overcome within that space of unhealth that never worked. But it wasn't until I started walking with Jesus that I was able to start reflecting on that time and understand how bad it actually was. Sexual immorality was the root of the rot in my life. My entire existence was ruled by my obsession to fit into a culture that teaches us that being sexy is the most important thing in the world, and that true value comes from defining ourselves by our sexuality. It was my loudest sin, and now it's the one I'm the most sensitive to. Not because anyone condemned me into changing, but because by allowing God into my heart, He lovingly and graciously guided me to an awareness of it. He did the purifying, and then so patiently gave me the time to get comfortable with it. It definitely took time. What I'm about to share actually is what happened only after I stopped resisting what he was doing. I will be the first to tell you that when you've lived a life full of sexual sin and toxic relationships, allowing the Lord to cleanse you of that is not comfortable. Your flesh will literally fight like hell to resist. Honestly, for a while, the thought of changing to become more righteous like Christ seemed boring to me because I had developed this very, very deep-seated belief that a happy and full life, at least in some part, had to involve sex and relationships that were lust and romance-driven. But I think it was in August this past summer that I had this pretty significant spiritual aha moment. Obviously, I knew God had been transforming me over the past 4-ish years, but it wasn't until this moment that I really understood the depth of what He was doing. The following verse instantly popped into my head in this moment. And it's Matthew 18:3. Truly I tell you, he said, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is Jesus speaking. I realized that for the first time, I had started to feel again like I did when I was younger, back before I was so worried about what the world thought and all I wanted to do was fit in, back before lust and perversion entered my life. Back when the things that felt good to me were more parallel to what God tells us is good for us, I had started to feel like I was getting some of my innocence back. If I remember correctly, the defining moment that really kicked this off was when I was in church one Sunday, and I noticed I wasn't feeling as uncomfortable around the kids. I wasn't feeling drained being around them as I often had before. Growing up an only child and never having babysat, I didn't have a lot of experience with kids. While I always figured that was the reason I was awkward around them, I never really understood why I also felt such heaviness. I've always had the desire on my heart to be a mother too, so this always bothered me. I think we can often feel drained when we're confronted with a light in others that has been extinguished in ourselves. My innocence had crumbled away bit by bit as I worked to fit into the world around me. And as I fell more into darkness, it would only make sense that anything that projected purity and light would be offensive and/or heavy to my dying spirit. Another revelation the Lord gave me in this regard was in the relationship I have with my mom. My mom has always had a very intense purity about her. She never married or even dated while I was growing up, and has mentioned to me a couple times that when she was younger, she always thought she was meant to be a nun. I never understood her contentedness in living single and without romance. Contentedness, contentment, whichever, you know what I'm talking about. We've always loved each other deeply, but until I knew Jesus, I had a hard time understanding her. Now it all makes so much sense to me, and praise God, we have a better relationship than I ever could have imagined. So when I think about the passage I shared above, where Jesus tells us that entering the kingdom of heaven requires us to become more like children, it makes a lot more sense to me now. He's talking about purifying our hearts from the things that have spoiled our childlike character, cleansing us from our sins, bringing darkness into the light. Childlikeness is simplicity. It's innocence and faithfulness and humility and curiosity. It's our most natural state of being, and it's what is required for us to step into the deepest and most beautiful relationships with each other and with our Father. John 3:1 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. My love, I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey, but I do hope you know how much God loves you. I know sometimes conversations like these are tough and seem weird and confusing, and it's tempting, if you can't quite wrap your head around it, to think that it's just not for you, but I promise it is. God's truth, forgiveness, grace, and love are for everyone. It's just a matter of allowing Him in and becoming curious. No matter what you've been taught in religious spaces or from the world, let me encourage you of the truth that none of this is about shame or legalism. It's about coming back to how we were created and what actually feeds our soul. God gives us these commands not to condemn us, but to teach us what will help us live a life full of joy and peace. God promises that His plan is not to harm you, but to prosper you and to give you hope in a good future. He promises to work for your good, to comfort you, help you, walk beside you, guide you, strengthen you, provide for you, and give you peace. I've gone back and forth in this Christian space for the last 5 years, experiencing joy and heartbreak, overwhelming comfort and extreme discomfort, clarity and confusion, encouragement and discouragement. And the conclusion I always draw at the end of every emotional roller coaster is that life with Jesus is just better. I'd like to pray for you. Father, thank you for the person listening to this message today. I pray that you would bless them and be with them as they go into their week. Guide them, strengthen them, and provide opportunities for them to know you better. I pray that you would bring people into their life that would shine light into any dark places, and that you would give them the courage to receive that light. Purify their heart, Lord, and remind them that their worth is not defined by the world, but by you and your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening, my friend. I hope you can go into your week encouraged that God loves you and He's with you. And if you don't know Him yet, that He wants to know you. If you have any questions about the episode or want to chat more, please feel free to reach out to me on Instagram, love_stands_here. I haven't gotten my website up and running yet. Hopefully by the end of the year, but if not, next year I will. If you don't know Jesus yet and you stumbled across this episode or you've been following me and were just curious and listened, please reach out to me. I would love to talk to you about faith and answer any questions that you might have that I can answer. And I am about to crawl into bed because I am exhausted and it's only 7 o'clock. But I love you very much, and I will talk to you next time.